again? Okay. All right. Continue to pray for Jennifer's Aunt Nancy. Very well. Let's set those to the side and go back to our study that we started back before Christmas, in fact. It's been a couple of weeks now, actually. 3 weeks ago we started this. A series all about managing our life. And I'm going to draw some analogies tonight to money, because I think that'll help us understand not just the concept, but the necessity to manage this resource that God has given us. We'd already looked at the fact that God is the giver of life, isn't he? The life that you have, God gave it to you. Life belongs to God. God gave life. God is life. Our life that we have, your life, was given to you by God for purpose. He doesn't just give out life for no purpose at all. Every single life has a purpose. And with this life that he's given us, with the life that God has given you, he's also given you resources with that life in order to accomplish what it is he wants you to accomplish. Okay? It's almost like the perfect boss. Now, some of you perhaps have had a boss before in your past that gave you a job to do and didn't give you any tools to get it done with. That's frustrating, isn't it? And it's defeating to try to do a job that you don't have the tools to do it with. Well, rest assured, God has given us a job that some of our job, we all have the same job to do. But for each person, God has a specific job for you to do. And I can't, should never come out of our mouths. If God gave us that job to do or that opportunity, then he's also equipped us with the resources to do the job. So it's always, should always be, I can. Now, one of the resources that he's given us is the resource of time. Okay? Now, how many of you are good managers of your time? Just think about that. You don't have to answer it, but you manage your time. And you're thinking, oh boy, pastor's one of those to-do list people, okay? I don't have a type A personality, you say. So that's why I'm late for everything, and I'm always scurrying around trying to catch up to myself or where I should be. And whoa, wait a minute. Here's where I'm going to draw an analogy to money, okay? What happens with a person who gets X number of dollars every week, okay, whether it's 500 or 1,000, whatever their paycheck is, they get their paycheck and they have no plan for their paycheck. What happens to that money? Disappears, right? It disappears before the end of the month. Or before the next check comes in, and then they're just waiting around for another one. Well, what would we tell that person to do that they need to do with their money? Budget. Oh, the B word. I can't believe you said that in church. Budget your money. Well, what is that? That's just a plan, isn't it? It's a plan where you are allocating your dollars to go here and here and here. You have a plan. And then you work your plan, okay? And that's called being wise with our money. Part of that plan, by the way, should be savings, should be tithing, should be bills, and should be retirement, okay? By the way, Social Security was never intended to be a retirement program, okay? It was a safety net, that's it. So we have to plan, okay? And we make a plan with our money. Why don't we do that with time? It's not just for type A personality people that like to-do lists. It's a resource, just like money, that God has allowed us to have, just like money. He gives us time, And we need to manage it. How do you manage time? You have to have a plan, right? You have to have a plan for it. Benjamin Franklin once said, "Dost thou love life? Then do not squander time, for it is the stuff life is made of." Someone calculated one time how a typical lifespan of 70 years is spent. Now, this is all based on averages, okay? But here's what they came up with. A lifespan of 70 years, based on averages, 23 years is spent sleeping. And that's important. Work, 16 years. Television, 8 years. Eating, 6 years. Travel time, 6 years. Leisure, 4.5 years. Illness, 4 years. Dressing, 2 years. Guys, don't make any comments, okay? Here's the one that got me. Based on these averages, religion, 0.5 years out of 70 years. Now, time, folks, is our opportunity to achieve success, some people would say. I mean, we have time. What are we going to do with it? We try to be successful. We all have time, by the way, and we all have the same amount of time as everyone else. When it comes to, let's say something needs to be done, let's just do this in a church context, okay? There's something at church that needs to be done. Oh, I don't have time. Let someone that has time do it. Have you ever thought that? Maybe you've heard that, or you can understand where that would be said. Wait a minute, that someone else has the same amount of time that we have. Every day we wake up with the same amount of time. And just like everyone else, we all make choices to do three things with our time. To squander it, to spend it, or to be stewards of our time. And we make those choices every single day. We understand what it means to squander, don't we? To like waste it, okay? And we understand what it means to spend time. We're doing something, we're going to allocate time, we do this. But stewarding our time, that's investing our time. Back to the financial comparison. You get your paycheck. You're going to choose to do one of three things with it. Squander it, spend it, or invest it. A lot of people are good at squandering. A lot of people are good at spending, okay? Most people spend everything they make, okay? A few people actually invest some of what they make because they have a budget, whether it's $1,000 a week or $1 a week. They're investing it into something down the road, okay? We make the same choice when it comes to our time. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5. I'll give you a minute to turn there. Ephesians chapter 5, 3 verses that we're going to focus on here tonight as we talk about stewarding our time. It's actually investing our time. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. Paul writes for us there, through the inspiration of God, this is God's word, right? This is God's word. I did listen to Pastor Cody preach Sunday. This is God's word, isn't it? So we need to listen to this, right? Here's what God said. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So, success, when it comes to time, is knowing and doing the will of God. Folks, it is entirely possible to diligently spend your time on fleeting goals. They don't have to be bad things. They can be good things, okay? While we were traveling, we were listening to a message. I believe this one was in the car that we were listening to. And the preacher said something pertaining to what we do with our lives as far as church attendance and the reason some people miss church regularly. And he brought out the point, look, when you're standing before Jesus, it's really not going to matter that you missed all that church for football games or for whatever other reason people skip church. It's going to seem like a really small thing, even though it's really important to you and your family right now, whatever it is that we miss church for. It's going to seem really small when we're standing before Christ. And when we look at the things that we spend our time on, fleeting goals, things that really aren't going to matter in eternity, things that when you cross the bridge into eternity, they all stay behind, and you don't get to take them with you anyway. So we need to establish priorities by purpose, okay? How many of you do this when you get up in the morning, okay? Or maybe when you go to bed at night, or maybe it's just constantly flowing through your head. I got to do this, and I got to do this tomorrow, and I got to do this Wednesday, and then there's this, and then there's this. And then you wake up in the morning, and you know you got to do this, this, and this, but then, oh, something else jumps in there, and you got to do that. And you spend your time based on what is the most urgent thing, right? You have no priorities. You're just spending your time based on whatever is the most urgent or what you want to do. Where's the priorities? When it comes to our money, should we not have priorities, right? God first. And then comes food, clothing, shelter. So that covers your house, your utilities. Make sure you've got clothes on you and your kids. And then after that should be savings, retirement. And then if there's anything left over, that's called having priorities. Then when the check comes in, you just start filling the envelopes, so to speak, as Dave Ramsey would put it. And you have a priority. When it comes to our time, we need to have priorities on purpose. And that's some of what we're going to be doing as we go through this series here. Most people enter their day on a treadmill of meaningless routines. I will describe most of your days right here. Getting up, going to work, coming home, maybe watching the news, going to bed, getting up, and doing it all over again. Am I right? Look back over your last week, okay? Were your days spent in ways that fulfill God's purposes for your life? What God planned for you to do with the life that He gave you? Were they spent in any way expanding the kingdom? Loving your spouse, if you have one. Spending time with your children, if they're still at home. Witnessing to others. Encouraging others. Ministering to others. Those are all things that have eternal impacts. But yet, how many of us have those on our priority scale? Just like our budget, okay? Priorities on purpose when it comes to our time. Do you have planned, let's say, in your schedule, if you're married, you're going to spend X amount of time with your spouse without the phone, without social media, without the remote, just with your spouse, okay? While we were gone, we were sitting in a restaurant, and I pulled out my phone. Now, hold on. I'm a busy man. And you guys bug me all the time, so I got to check my emails, right? And so I pull it out, and I'm starting to scroll through emails or texts to see if I missed anything important. That was it. It was out for maybe 5 seconds, and someone sitting across the table from me, I won't tell you their name, they said, "We're going to be an illustration in some pastor's message Sunday." He's going to say, "You know, I was at this restaurant and I saw this husband and wife sitting there and he was staring at his cell phone the whole time." But prioritizing these things, expanding the kingdom, loving your spouse, spending time with your children, witnessing to others, encouraging to others, ministering to others, should those things not have a priority in our time budget, if we can call it that? Those should have a priority. These are eternal priorities that should be, that must be a part of our lives. We're going to learn more about all these individual priorities in the weeks to come. But first, let's consider the enemy of time and purpose. The enemy of time and purpose. Ephesians 5:15, it said, to walk circumspectly. We're going to do a little geometry. That's the word. We're going to talk a little geometry here tonight. To walk circumspectly, okay? Walking is just a matter of going through life, okay? This could be your day that you spend and what we do. We're walking. God says to walk circumspectly. It means to be cautious. It means to be vigilant. Here's the geometry. It means, as we walk, to keep the entire circumference in view. Now, the circumference, okay, that is, if you draw a circle, you draw a straight line across. That distance is the diameter, okay? The circumference is everything around the circle. That means, in this context, that is the entire view of life. Live your life each day with these priorities, with these purposes in view. Walk circumspectly. Why are we warned to be alert to this? Well, I think we could answer that easily because we generally don't even think about it, do we? I mean, we fit some of these eternal priorities in where we can, right? If there's time. We have an enemy, folks, that seeks to waste our time. Why is Satan so concerned about wasting our time? Because it is something that God gifted us with. It is a resource that we need to accomplish the purpose that he has for us. And if Satan can get us to waste, squander that time, we'll not have any time left to fulfill the purpose that God has given us life to do. And so we have this enemy. He cautions us in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Folks, if you are so spiritual that he can't destroy your life with sinful living, he will do it by eating up your time with activities that have no eternal value. Now think about that. He can't destroy your life with sinful living, but he will destroy your life by getting you to spend your time on activities that have no eternal value. Listen to this. Either way, it's the same thing. We can sometimes be self-righteous because our life isn't destroyed with sinful living, and we are doing nothing with our lives that have an eternal purpose. And the result is we have done nothing with our lives that has an eternal purpose. This person over here, sinful living, the result, they've done nothing with their life that has an eternal purpose. Same result. Satan wins either way, right? This is so important that we manage our time, that we are stewards of it. This is why we have to intentionally manage our time. Just like if someone wants to retire one day, okay, and have a little bit of a nest egg, way back when, they have to intentionally take steps in order to make that happen. We have to intentionally manage our time. When God tells us to walk circumspectly, He's telling us to walk with balance. Let me introduce that word there, to walk with balance. Why do I say that? Because even good things, if they're not managed, can have dangerous outcomes. For example, husbands who have lost their marriages because they invested too much in work. Preachers who have lost their families because they overinvested in a ministry. And we could just go on down the line and come up with other examples. We have to learn to walk with balance. So how do we avoid this? How do we avoid walking, living out of balance? Just like we do with our finances. We have to make a choice as we spend our time. We intentionally allocate our time. That means we have to have a plan, kind of like a time budget. For different aspects of our life, including, and we'll be going through these in the weeks to come, a plan for our health, our family, our finances, and ministry as well. Let me ask you this question. What are your priorities? Our number one priority should be wisdom. That should be a priority. We should be after wisdom. I've asked the question to several people in the past, how do you teach someone wisdom? generally I get what I just got here. I don't know if that head shaking was an I don't know or you can't. But one person actually had an answer for me. They said, are you kidding me? Solomon, the wisest man in the world, wrote the book of Proverbs to his son. And look how his son turned out, right? You can't force a person to learn wisdom. So how do we have to choose to make wisdom a priority in our lives. How do we get wisdom? And I have a number of verses there for you. I don't think they'll be on the screen, but let me just read through those. Proverbs chapter 2, verses 2 through 6. So that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and liftest up thy voice for understanding. If thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Here's the summary of that. We grow in wisdom as we seek it. We have to seek wisdom. Just like if we're seeking a promotion, we are going to intentionally do things to be noticed by the boss, to get enough points that we can get a promotion, however it works at your workplace. But you're going to be intentional about it. You're going to seek it. James chapter 1 and verse 5, another way. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Simply a matter of asking God for wisdom. Proverbs 1:5, it says, a wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsels. The first part of that verse there, a wise man will hear. Listen to the counsel of others. I wished that I could go back sometimes to my 20s with what I know now. And what I know now is, I don't know everything. Wouldn't it be great to just start your 20s with that mindset? I really don't know everything. And listen to the counsel of others. Now, we're not 20 anymore, are we? Okay? That's not our age. Well, except for a few, okay, that are in here. We're 30s, 40s, 50s for some of you. Not for me yet, okay? And some beyond that. We have to be cautious, though. Because, like, I'm almost 50 years old. I've been in the ministry for 17 years. I still don't know. We have to be careful that we don't get to the point where we think we have wisdom now. We still need to seek wisdom. There's no age range on these verses here. They are for all of us until the day we die. Seek wisdom. Wisdom. Listen to the counsel of others. Like, turn your cell phone off when you come into church. Okay? Just hold that call for me. Proverbs 6:23. Here's another one. It says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." Another verse talking about wisdom. This one here is a good one. Let me read it again. See if you can pick it out. "For the commandment is a lamp, the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." This is just good old trial and error, okay? We learn by making mistakes, don't we? We must make getting wisdom a priority, because then everything else begins to, if we have wisdom, we line up our priorities right too. You ever notice when it, let's say finances again, when it comes to priorities, okay? A person, a 20-year-old gets their paycheck. And compare that to the 60-year-old who knows he's going to be retiring in a few years. He gets his paycheck. Can you imagine that they probably have different priorities? One guy is looking at, "I'd like to get the car paid off so I can dump more into savings because I want to retire as soon as I can. I want to be able to retire by the time I'm 80. And that's what his priority is focused on. It's more of a future type of investment, right? The 20-year-old is thinking, "Yeah, this is cool. I can go shopping. I can go out with my friends. I can buy new video games. I can do..." And their priorities are all different. But as we gain wisdom, it changes our priorities, doesn't it? So, stewarding your time with wisdom. We're seeking wisdom. That's a priority. And now we're going to be stewarding our time with it. Here's how we do that. Number one, what God has given me is sustainable. Okay, just think about that thought for a minute. What God has given me is sustainable. He doesn't give us more than we can get done with the time that He has provided for us to do it. But have you ever felt like you end the day like, "Oh man, I just didn't have enough time to get everything done today"? I've challenged myself, because generally what I will do is go, 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 until I'm exhausted, and 10:30, 11 o'clock, crash, go to bed, and start it all over the next day, and just get as much done before I collapse and fall into bed again. But I've challenged myself with this thought. And here's how it grew into this thought. I realized, somewhere along the way, that I never get the list done. There's always more that I can do. And as long as my eyes are awake and I have energy, I got to keep doing more things. And I never got it done. There was always more to do the next day. So I began to challenge myself with this thought here. I need to have wisdom so that I know what God wants me to spend my time on today. And even though I may get another 57 things done, those may not be things that God wanted me to do today. Maybe He wanted me to let my body rest, like our bodies need rest from time to time. So working 15 hours a day is not a wise thing to do. What God has given me is sustainable. Sometimes we do try to do more than what he intended us for us to do in a day's time. Number two, an opportunity does not equal an obligation. This is where wisdom helps us determine what is good, better, and best. An opportunity can come up here at church, and it's good, or else we wouldn't allow it to come up, okay? And it's good, but just because it's good doesn't mean we jump on it. What is good, what is better, what is best? That's where wisdom comes in and helps us with that. If we don't make that distinction, and some of you will know this from your own experience, we can find ourselves overburdened and under-equipped. As individuals, yes. Some of you have experienced that before. But even as a church, there are lots of good things we can be doing. But is it the best for our church at this moment? If we're not careful, we can, as a church, become overburdened and under-equipped. Same principle holds there, too. Number three, I must identify and focus on the most important things. In the weeks to come, we're going to look at things that should be priorities in our time, in our lives. As we look at those are things that we are identifying and focusing on in our time schedule. Number four, tarrying times are not idle times. There were times in Scripture where we see that Christ did nothing. When he got away from the crowds. By the way, did you notice he never healed everyone? He healed a lot of people, but he didn't heal everyone. That would have been good, but he didn't do it, okay? He focused on what was God's will, what was best. And then there were times when he just got away and he did nothing. It's okay to do nothing. Tarrying times. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Tells us we need to just wait upon the Lord. And in that passage, as I preached on it last week, we focus on doing the will of God. Number five, I will center my time on the main thing that God has called me to do. There are some things that only I can do. At my home address, there are some things that only I can do in that house, in my home. Here at church, there are some things that only I can do. Nobody else can fulfill the role of husband to my wife. Only I can do that. That's something, by the way, I need to focus on then, isn't it? No one else can fulfill the role of father to my children or mother. If you're a lady, even if we pay someone, no one else can fulfill the role of parent to our children. If I neglect those responsibilities, just those two there, I have failed. Even if Grace Baptist Church becomes a ministry of 1,000 people, 2,000 people here in Taylorville, and we're sending out 50 missionaries from our church every year, or people into full-time service, and we have planted sister churches in different parts of the county, I have failed if I don't do those things there. Those are responsibilities that only I can do. Now, the same thing can be said in other areas too. And you need to identify these areas in your life. As pastor, there are some things that only I can do. For example, preparing sermons. Now, if I spend my time each day, the same amount of time that you get, if I spend my time doing what someone else could be doing, I will neglect my primary purpose as pastor. So that has to be a priority as I schedule time. in your case, the main thing that God has called you to do may be different. But whatever it is, we have to, at this point in our series, we have to identify what it is and then center your time around it and invest your time in that. No matter how much time in our lives has been squandered already or spent or invested, no matter how much time, so it doesn't matter how old or young we are in here, no matter how much time we squandered, spent, or invested, when we wake up tomorrow morning, we have potentially 86,400 seconds in front of us tomorrow that God is giving to you to do something with it, to invest, to have a plan for it. Like I said, no matter how much time we've wasted over the years, as Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind, wake up in the morning, God's just given me another gift, another resource of 86,000 seconds. Quite a few of them have already been spent sleeping since midnight. I get that. But what are you going to do with the rest? See, we are faced with this truth here. Tomorrow morning, we have to make a choice now. Are we going to continue to squander it, to spend it on that revolving treadmill that has no purpose? Or are we going to sit down and begin to structure a purpose for our time, just like we do our dollars, folks? How will you invest that tomorrow? Okay, well, let's stop there for tonight, and let's spend some time in prayer.